Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Now, a man has been arrested following that armed siege in West Dublin last night, during which two Gardaí were shot and wounded. The plainclothes Gardaí were in a housing estate in Blanchardstown when a man opened fire from his home. The Justice Minister, Heather Humphreys, is appearing before the Oireachtas Committee on Social Protection at the moment, but she began by addressing last night's incident.
Before we start, Chair, I'd just like to take this opportunity to pay tribute to the bravery of the two members of An Garda Síochána who were shot and injured last evening in Blanchardstown. This shocking event reminds us all of the dangers members of An Garda Síochána put themselves in every day to protect us. I would also like to pay a tribute to the other members of An Garda Síochána who responded to the incident without any further injuries. And I want to acknowledge the full support and cooperation they received from the other first responders. So I'd just like to wish both Gardaí a swift recovery. And I thank them and all those who responded last night to what was a very difficult and dangerous situation.
That's Minister Heather Humphreys there. And shortly we'll speak to Dr. Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner. But first, I'm joined on the line by crime correspondent for the Irish Times, Conor Gallagher. Good morning, Conor.
Morning, Claire.
Let's go back over what happened. When were Gardaí first alerted to this incident? It was in the vicinity of Whitechapel Grove, which is a housing estate in Blanchardstown.
That's right. So Gardaí in Blanchardstown were first alerted at 7 p.m. that shots were being fired in that housing estate. So plainclothes detectives made their way to the area to investigate these reports. And when they arrived, they were fired on from a house by a man who seemed to have an automatic weapon, what we now know to be a machine pistol. So that's when the exchange of gunfire happened. A feature of these incidents in recent years has been much of them are caught on film, and many of those videos are now in circulation, videos taken by the residents. And in fact, in one video, we can see the Gardaí exchanging gunfire with the suspect as the Gardaí take cover from behind a car. So sometime around this point, one Garda received gunshot wounds to the foot and another received the gunshot wounds to the foot and arm. They were brought from the scene by their colleagues to an ambulance, and they're still in hospital where they're receiving treatment for non-life-threatening injuries.
So Conor, tell us a bit about the Garda operation then that was mounted once those shots were fired.
So at that point, a massive Garda operation swung into place. I think by the time I arrived, just after 8 p.m, a huge cordon had been set up around the housing estates and the estates beside it, with the armed supports units and the ERU, the emergency response unit, at the scene. Garda helicopter was overhead, and large crowds were beginning to gather at the cordons at the opposite ends of the estate. So the emergency response units and the Garda negotiators then took charge of the operation. So the Gardaí were pulled back to a certain extent, and that's when the kind of siege stage of things began. So there was no more gunshots after this point, I understand. The negotiator was able to engage in conversation with the man. And that in those negotiations went on for some time, and it was only at 9:30 that we got word that the operation had come to a conclusion. We saw the ERU officers putting away their weapons from up the road, which gave us an indication. When we actually have video as this as well of the man coming out of the house with his hands up as the armed Gardaí approach him from kind of behind these shields that they have before arresting him. And he's been taken to Blanchardstown Garda Station, a man in his 40s, where he remains in custody today.
Now, the Gardaí had a press conference, didn't they, very early this morning? I think it was around the midnight mark. And they were asked whether there was somebody else in the house, according to Paul Reynolds' report this morning on RTE. It was thought that the suspect's mother was there. What do you know about that now, Conor?
That's right. I suppose another feature of these is a lot of rumours tend to go around, and a lot of information, both false and true, spreads around, and it can be quite hard to confirm it. But the Gardaí at the minute say certainly no one else was injured. The initial reports were that his mother might have been in danger during the incident, but they declined to comment further on that aspect of it or to say what triggered this incident. But we do know now he was alone in the house when he was arrested, and no other injuries were reported. I should also add that two weapons were actually found in the house. These are the weapons he threw out from the house prior to surrender, a machine pistol and then another type of handgun.
And this suspect is known to the Gardaí.
That's right. He's a man in his 40s who is one of two brothers who are very well known to Gardaí. They would have been involved in organised criminality going back many years into their 20s. They would have had close links to the Westies crime group and would have been involved in some very serious offending during that period. We don't know if any of that was connected to this. We don't actually know the reason why all of this kicked off, but it doesn't appear to be connected to organised crime.
You mentioned the videos that were online last night, almost in real time. Now, this was despite the media blackout being in place last night, which was respected by newspapers, radio stations, TV stations and so on. But clearly, social media, this information, videos, pictures, they were there right throughout the incident.
Yeah, you hear about these media blackouts every so often, and the media would get maybe about under a dozen of them a year. And invariably, there are incidents where someone is inside a property with a weapon, usually a firearm, and Gardaí believe he could pose a threat to others, and Gardaí are outside. And the whole idea behind them is if the person's inside and they put on the radio or they open up a website and see what they're doing being reported in real time, that could make them more dangerous, possibly. So basically, the guards don't want any interference. It's a request, it's not a demand, but it's one the media tip. As you say, social media in some ways makes a mockery of it, because all of those videos, and I'm sure many of your listeners were getting them through WhatsApp last night,
Okay, Conor, do you know what? Your line is breaking up there, but we get a good sense of what happened over the course of last night. Conor Gallagher from the Irish Times. And as I said, I'm also joined on the line by Dr. Pat Leahy, former Assistant Garda Commissioner. Good morning, Pat. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Claire.
This throws into stark relief the risks that Gardaí take in this country. They put themselves in these very dangerous positions every day.
Absolutely, Claire. Look, first of all, I'd like to send my best wishes to the two members, and I wish them a full recovery. And knowing the Chief Superintendent and the Superintendent out there, Finbar Murphy and Peter Burke, and indeed the Assistant Commissioner Anne-Marie Cagney, their focus this morning now will be on the welfare of those two members, but also on the welfare of the other people in the division. And I'm sure they'll be out there this morning with welfare officers, because this will have an effect on everybody.
So we know that this suspect had an automatic pistol and a handgun. At least we know that they were in the house once this incident ended. So when you're looking at the armed detectives, what sort of weapons are they carrying?
Well, they're most likely to be armed with a 6 or 9 millimetre pistol, Claire, a fine weapon. But up against a machine pistol, look, you're in a different ball game altogether. It's a different standard of weapon. It's military grade. It was designed for close quarter combat. So, look, you really are in a different place with a weapon like that. And that's probably why the members were injured last night. But just to focus on that, Claire, this is not the first time. We can go back to 2019 and two members just about escaped with their lives. When a person fired at them with a machine pistol, he was caught with two machine pistols and a grenade out in Ballymun. Now, he was sentenced to 15 years subsequently. But there again, members came across this, came upon it, put themselves in harm's way to protect the public. And this is what happened again last night. And I suppose something that's really important about this is it's not unusual, Claire. They're getting calls like that every other night. Shots fired, and in some occasions they'll go to the scene and there'll be holes in a window or holes in a door, but most of the time they don't find anything. But it happens quite regularly, and last night they went to the scene, and I'm sure they were thinking, what's happening here now? Is there somebody looking for assistance? Has somebody been shot? You know, are we going in there to save life? So they put themselves in harm's way to protect the community. And they run all these scenarios in their head on their way to the scene. And that's why they find themselves in such difficult situations, because they're totally committed to protecting the community and preserving life.
But it must also run through their minds as they're going there that the person who is involved in this might have an automatic pistol, as was the case last night. And then you're thinking, what I have, as you've just explained, is no match for that. I'm walking into really serious, dangerous trouble here.
Well, under normal circumstances, Claire, the call that will come in will be shots fired. They won't know what it is. Nobody will have reported shots from a machine pistol. So they're dealing, in their minds, they're thinking about all the information and all the intelligence that they've been privy to over the last weeks and the last months within that area, within that community. So they'll start painting a picture in their own mind of what's possible. But first and foremost, they're thinking, okay, if there were shots fired, is somebody injured? Is somebody dead? Does somebody need our assistance immediately? So they go into protection mode for others rather than themselves. And that's what happens. That's how they find themselves in harm's way. And I know that internationally they say, well, look, once you get a call like that, you should put up a perimeter and you should stay back and wait for the other graduated response to kick in, where you have better weapons, better firepower. But the guards are hotwired into their communities to protect them at all costs and preserve life. And I think it's a really strong message that has to go out to the communities now today, that the guards are prepared to do this for you. And you must stand up now and come back and help them, you know, during these investigations. You must help the guards to deal with these situations.
But do questions need to be asked about what weapons the Gardaí are carrying?
I don't think so, Claire. Like, I think if we look at the overall picture of last night, it was a hugely successful outcome. And there are other places in the world, you know, probably most places in the world, where it wouldn't have been as successful. The graduated response kicked in last night, a perfect response. The guards arrived on scene. They didn't know what they were going to be encountering. They contained the situation. The graduated response was actioned. You had the ERU, you had the armed response unit on scene. They have the weaponry to deal with this. It was sealed off. The negotiators came in. They spoke to them. They talked him down. They took him out. He wasn't injured. Unfortunately, we have two members injured, but the community were kept safe, and they have a person in custody now. It is textbook, really, really positive outcome to a situation like this.
Pat, thanks very much for joining us this morning. That's Dr. Pat Leahy there, former Assistant Garda Commissioner. In a moment, we'll be hearing about the response from Mercy University Hospital in Cork to a cyber attack which threatened their data.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.